Welcome to Change Surfer Radio. I'm Dr. J, and for the next half hour, I'll be your guide to a sexy, high-tech vision of a radically democratic future. So keep your mind open and your radio tuned to the left. Speaking today with Greg Pence. Greg Pence is a professor of philosophy at the University of Alabama, author of Designer Food, Mutant Harvest, or Breadbasket of the World, and also Who's Afraid of Human Cloning? Welcome, Greg.
Welcome, and I'm at the University of Alabama at Birmingham.
At Birmingham, okay. And how did you come to turn your attention from traditional bioethics concerns, when to pull the plug on grandma, and your concern over cloning, which you've been writing about, to genetically modified foods with this most recent book?
One way to think about my book on cloning is it exposes stupid things people think about human cloning, and it was a natural segue into stupid things people think about genetically modified plants. And medical ethics sometimes gets constraining, and to me, bioethics is much broader, and so it includes topics about the origin of life and death that aren't medical, and that's where genetically modified food comes in, where the food might not only help starving people, but eradicate diseases caused by starving, and even carry vaccines.
You start your book off with a discussion of the safety of organic foods, which right off the bat, you're throwing down a gauntlet by talking to most people's concerns about, you know, eating healthy food, and you're saying that there are actual risks of organic foods.
Well, this was news to me. In researching the book, I'd always assumed that organic foods were much safer. I have a sister who basically eats only organic foods, and I was really shocked to find that people had died of organic foods, especially E. coli. And the more I looked into it, the more I realized that we make a lot of assumptions about what's safe and what's unsafe, and in context, GM veggies seem really safe.
E. coli is a bacteria that lies on organic vegetables because of the use of manure?
Yes, it's very easy to get contaminated, and especially if the vegetables aren't washed correctly. And it's kind of a hidden stealth story out there just how dangerous it is.
The risk assessment from the pesticides and the fertilizers that also lie on non-organic vegetables, that's a pretty difficult assessment to do.
The same BT that is the source of all the concern about Starling corn and genetically modified corn, and which is also called BT corn when it's genetically modified. That's the same pesticide that you can spray on an organic food. So it's just a matter of degree whether you put the gene for it inside the food or spray it on.
And it's not harmful to humans, that particular pesticide?
No. That's why it's allowed on organic food. I mean, it's probably the EPA considers it the safest pesticide.
Yeah. Now, what are the actual dangers of genetically modified food? We hear about them possibly harming butterflies. We hear about them spreading, you know, beyond their bounds and encroaching on other environments. But are there any actual documented dangers to human beings from genetic modified foods that we know of yet?
The only thing that might possibly be true is some proteins that are created might be a little bit harder to digest and might cause, like, stomach acid. But that's, and that's even not proven, just kind of speculation. And it's also true that things that are now considered pretty safe, like, that there's a lot of foods that we eat that are imported from other countries that really aren't tested very much. So I think probably there's a very high bar been put on genetically modified veggies, which is what they pass. They've probably been more tested than any food that's ever been introduced. But there's also a lot of hysteria. As soon as you mention the word genetic, it sounds like you're tampering with something very essential.
In the latest issue of Harper's Magazine, Barry Commoner has an article. I don't know if you've had a chance to see it yet.
Read an abstract of it.
Yeah. His basic argument is one that's been kicking around for a while, but he gives it a full dose there, that the genome and its workings that turn it into a phenotype are too complicated for us to possibly ever understand, and certainly more complicated than taking snippets of one and putting in another and making transgenic things that work well. What do you think about that argument? Is that just a restatement of the warning against hubris? Is that part of this mysticism, or are there actual scientific arguments out there for why GM foods might behave in ways that we can't predict?
Well, I mean, I think they're tools, and it's like a hammer. A hammer can be used to build a house or bash in someone's brains, and it would be wrong to say that if someone wanted to do something wrong with a hammer or even a dialysis machine, you couldn't do harm with it. But that doesn't mean that you don't create the tools. Although I guess there are Luddites in the world who would have us not create any tool that might possibly be used by some nut for harm. I think Commoner is it's sad. I think he's become a scaremonger all of a sudden. And I think most people won't understand the issues and will listen to him and think there's some kind of great danger and genetically modified food. You know, there's an old history of scaring people about food. When this country was settled, no one would eat tomatoes because they were considered poisonous. And finally, a fairly famous New Yorker one day announced that he was going to eat about 100, and people gathered to watch him die.
I know people who still have that myth in their head.
Well,
now the Europeans, not to blame the old world for all of our myths and irrationality, but the Europeans seem to be particularly exercised about food concerns, and partly for justified reason. They've had this mad cow scare, but then they've turned it into some kind of horror at American genetically modified food and see it as emblematic of globalization in general, don't they?
Yes, and we're to blame for this in part. And if we were living in Britain right now, we would probably be very suspicious of our food system because their public health authorities did, in fact, lie to them. They were allowing their farmers to do something that was actually barbaric and atrocious. They were cows will eat almost anything, and when cows died, the farmers just regarded the carcass as wasted feed. So they were grinding up the dead cows and putting it into cattle feed to bulk up the cattle, and somewhere along the line, a virus in the family of what's called a spongiform encephalopathies, which also called scrappy in sheep and Jakob Creutzfeldt disease in humans, crossed over from sheep to cattle, and there was a baseline cow that got infected, and then its brains were fed to other cattle and so on and so on.